friends.
Hi, friends.
Thanks.
Yeah.
This is Salt the Earth asking for a special request of prayers.
Yes.
About a week and a half ago, we found out our pastor, Father Tim, has been diagnosed with cancer. It is metastatic cancer. It's originating from his kidney, but it's affecting his jaw as well. And he is just really right now asking for prayers from as many people as he can get them from.
Mm-hmm.
And he will be praying for all of us and all of you. So if you could keep him in your prayers, he will be going in for surgery soon to hopefully remove his kidney and remove the cancer from his kidney. And then he will be having reconstructive jaw surgery to get rid of the cancer in his jaw and then put his jaw back together.
Yep.
So if we can keep him in our prayers, and we will be praying for him, and you guys will pray for him and pray for us. I think that will be something that will help him a lot, as we know the power of prayer is a powerful thing. So. Yeah.
Father Tim is one of the best people that I've ever met. And he needs to be around for a while because he needs to baptize my kids.
And marry me.
So keep him in your prayers. We love him. He is everything that is good about the Catholic Church is embodied in Father Tim.
He's a good and holy priest who loves his parish and loves Jesus and loves his church. So we just want to help love him through the power of prayer and through Jesus Christ. And as he said, he has great hope, and during this season of hope, that everything will turn out the way it is supposed to.
Yep.
So thank you guys for the prayers.
Yes.
And if you need any prayers from us, please reach out to us and we will be glad to pray for you.
Yes.
Awesome.
What do we say?
Welcome to Salt the Earth Podcast, episode 14. I'm Tori.
I'm Matt.
And this is, what are we talking about today, Matt?
We're talking about youth ministry, its benefits and its downfalls in the current Catholic Church, and maybe some ideas on what we could do to fix the situation with catechizing our youth and why so many kids are deciding to leave the church.
Cool. I do not consider myself an expert in this field.
But you're a youth pastor.
I'm a youth minister.
Yeah, I say youth pastor. I understand that it's like...
Yeah, I just feel like in the Catholic world, it's just so weird to be called a youth pastor.
But why?
Because I'm not a pastor.
Yeah, but like...
Like...
Isn't pastor kind of a broad word?
In other denominations, yeah. In the Western
definition of it, like...
Yes, yes. It could also mean pasture.
It
can't mean that, but it's similar to pasture.
It sounds like pasture.
Yes. Which is very different.
Yes.
I just wanted to clear that
up. What's the etymology of the word pastor?
Probably, I don't know. Matt is currently looking up the etymology, which means where the word came from, in case you didn't know.
Our listeners are high IQ.
I believe it. Anglo-Norman French pastor.
Shepherd. Shepherd. Pasture. Yeah. I'll bet you it's the same root word.
I probably could have told you that had I paid attention to my Latin.
If you go back far enough, you are a pastor.
And a pastor.
No.
Okay, so like I get the thing. I just don't like being called a youth pastor. I don't have that much authority that I feel like a pastor typically has.
Do you think pastor requires authority?
Yes.
Interesting.
Like, okay, let's go back to the root word. It comes from shepherd. Do shepherds have authority?
No.
Over their sheep? Yes, they do.
Over their sheep, but like in the general world?
But you know? Over their sheep, over the thing they do.
You have authority over your sheep.
I don't think
flock.
I do.
No?
No, not as much as everyone thinks I do.
I think that you command respect.
Oh, I'm sure I command respect for my teenagers.
So what is authority?
Like, I don't get a choice, really. Like, I don't have a huge say in what I do all the time. You know, I still report to another person.
So does a priest.
Yeah, but less so. Then I report to my priest. You know, like, I report to my priest more often than he probably reports to the bishop.
How often do you report to your priest?
Weekly? At least twice a month, I should say. Like, in an official capacity, twice a month.
That's not very much.
No.
Oversight? Like, as far as oversight
No,
goes.
And I have a great pastor who, like, trusts me enough to let me do whatever I want, basically. As long as it's good for the young people.
I'm sticking with pastor as an acceptable term.
Whatever. We'll debate etymology later.
Terminology.
I mean.
Etymological? Is that it? I don't even know.
I don't know if that's
low
a word.
IQ. Lower IQ than a lot of our listeners.
So I'm a youth minister, but I do not consider myself an expert in the field of youth ministry. Mm-hmm. I have been in youth ministry for, I think this is my seventh year. This is going on. So this summer will be my seventh year. That's kind of exciting. I'm 25. I've been in ministry for 7 years. That's pretty exciting. But I got a lot to learn, but I do think I have some ideas of what we could do better, or what some people are already doing better. But I would love to hear your thoughts, because you are an engineer, but you help in youth ministry all the time.
All the time, whether I want to or not.
Correct.
I mean, basically, by virtue of having a wife that's in youth ministry, and before that, just having a youth minister who was happy to volunteer me to do things.
Once we aged out of the program. Oh, yeah. Great.
Well, after we aged out of the program.
So what are your thoughts? What do you think we do well? What do you think we could do better? What are things that maybe our Protestant brothers and sisters do better?
So, controversial take. Kids don't like the Mass.
Shock.
By and large.
Right? Shocking.
I think that there are a lot of ways to address that. At the very least, we need to actually teach kids in a way that's entertaining and holds their attention. I don't think that a lot of religious education programs are very good at holding kids' attention.
Mm-hmm.
I was very lucky in having religious education teachers who were, like, parents of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I was able to have a rapport with them that wasn't just like, oh, hello, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so. You know, I have a question about X or Y topic. Like, they were much more happy to have an actual conversation about these issues than just, like, sit in front of a room and, you know, teach.
Right.
Kids go to school all day. They don't want to go to more school.
Agreed.
So if there's a way to frame religious education in an entertaining way,
mm-hmm.
and this is something that I think that our Protestant brothers and sisters do really well.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in junior high, I was craving something else. And so I went to a non-denominational Christian parish because they had a youth group.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, we didn't have a junior high youth group. And I think that I learned more about the Bible, and I read my Bible more as a result of that than at any time before.
Really?
Because there was, like, almost an incentive to do it, right? Because people were excited about it. The youth ministers were young and excited about the topic. Like, they would do these things where, like, if you brought your Bible, you'd get a Slurpee or whatever, right? And it wasn't like every week,
right.
But it was like on random times. So kids always had their Bible on them and they were always reading the next passage because there was some small incentive that like would get a kid excited.
Right.
Of just, you know, having read a passage from the Bible.
Right.
Right. So those were like the moments where I like memorized my first passages and like actually started using my Bible was a result of just attending a Protestant youth group.
Oh, that's interesting. Do you remember the first Bible passage you memorized? It's kind of a hard question.
I'm trying to, like, the one that sticks out of my head is always in Timothy. Or is it Timothy? Where it says, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. It says it a couple times in the Bible.
He says it in the Gospels, too.
Mm-hmm. But I know that, like, I have other Bible passages I've memorized before, but I'm not sure of the order. But, like,
right.
I know that one was, like, very early on. I remember that passage standing out specifically. Just spoke to me in some way or another.
Right.
Also, like, there is no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free.
Right.
Male or female. That's an interesting passage to me, too, for similar reasons.
Okay.
Like, social justice-y kind of reasons. Something that always bothered me about the church was, like, the dismissiveness that I felt about, like, insert group of people here.
Okay.
Whatever it is. Even going back to when I was younger, if I was on the internet at all, you would see people kind of co-opting Christianity to push exclusionary messages.
Right.
And I don't think that that's not what Jesus did.
No.
So, like,
no, very much so not what he did.
Let's be like Jesus and not do that.
Right.
So those are the kind of passages that always stood out to me. What actually kind of pushed me away from the Protestant youth group was those same kind of exclusionary things.
What do you mean?
Right? So, like, I don't think that they were being discriminatory or anything, but, like, it was very tight-knit in that if you missed a week, you were, like, almost a pariah.
Like
if you missed a week, you were, like, outcast almost because you missed whatever events and inside jokes happened that last week.
It's unfortunate.
Right? And so, by nature of me also doing Catholic stuff in preparation for my confirmation, I was that pariah. I think a cloud just went overhead.
Wow, it got super dark in here, like very quickly. Oh, it's getting it's coming back.
Okay. So that kind of, like, I was going for a while, and then due to my preparation for confirmation in Catholic Church, there were just a lot of conflicting events and also stuff that I was doing in high school at the time. And I kind of was an outcast at that point from that group, just by nature of not having been there often enough to get everything that was going on. So that kind of sucked. And then I kind of got drawn back into the high school youth group in our Catholic Church. And that sense of community was amazing. I never felt a sense of community like that. And there wasn't any of this, oh, you missed out, so too bad.
Right.
That was never an issue.
Right.
I think that the way, at the very least, that we approached youth when we were going to youth group, the way that like our parish approached it was very good. And we were doing really well. We had, you know, 50 to 100 kids coming to youth group on any given week. Like, we had, like, 120 at the beginning of the year when it was required. But, like, we had a consistent 50 or 60.
I think that's overestimating a little bit. I think it is.
No, I mean, like, I think we're closer to 30. Of those certain, no. When we were first going.
Maybe freshman year. Yeah.
It was crazy. Because there's a huge senior group.
Right.
And there's a huge freshman group.
Okay, that's fair. Maybe the first year, yeah. But then it went down to 30, and 30 is still a great size.
Oh, yeah. 30 is great.
30, I think that was actually, like, better for me, because before it was just too many people.
It was a lot when there was, like, 8 or 9 small groups all kind of gathering around in different places and doing stuff.
That's hard. But you liked the sense of community?
Yeah. I think that kids strive for that. Mm-hmm. They want a place of belonging, whatever that is.
Right.
And high schools provide a lot of that, whether it's, you know, sports or band or drama or choir, you know, insert X number of clubs that kids participate in, Key Club and student council, whatever it is. Those kinds of things provide a sense of community, but I think that they don't necessarily provide God in the way that like some kids might want.
Right.
And
that's not their intention either.
No, it's not objectively anyway.
No.
There are definitely groups where I felt that. So, like, I was in the drum line in my high school, and we prayed before every
march. Okay.
Even the kids who were atheists or didn't care about it. Like, it was just, like, a
thing you did
together.
A thing
that we did together.
Right.
It was a tradition as much as anything else. But that held a certain amount of meaning. Mm-hmm. And I know that happened in other places in that school, too.
That's kind of cool. I didn't know you guys did that.
We had, like, a little ritual that we did. It was cute and fun. But, yeah, I think that I know that I strove for a sense of community in the church my whole life. And I still do. And I kind of hop into different communities and try to contribute in some way or another to those communities. But I think that for kids in general, there are a lot that like either aren't going to push to learn more about the Bible.
Right.
And so you need some sort of incentive. You need something that says, like, you're coming here because you want to, not because your parents are forcing you to. And I think that most, if not all, of the kids that are currently in catechism are there because their parents are forcing them to go.
Oh, of course. Yes.
So starting there, right? Your parents are forcing you to go to youth group, or your parents are forcing you to go to religious ed. Are your parents actually passionate? So, it starts with identifying, you know, that kids are going because their parents are forcing them to, right? And if your parents are forcing you to go, where are they at?
Right.
Do they want to be in church? Because if they don't want to be in church, what's the point of forcing your kid to go, first of all? So I think in a lot of ways, a lot of this reform starts with the parents. It starts on a community level and getting the parents involved. So I think that the failings of the Catholic Church are kind of threefold. Okay. One, there's nothing for parents.
Sure.
Like that gap between 20 and 50 that like people just don't go to church. Like there's nothing for people in that age bracket in a lot of ways at the Catholic Church level. There's stuff for old people, there's stuff for young people, and there's nothing in the middle.
Sure.
And we've tried to fill that gap in some ways to limited success in one parish, but like,
we do something in my parish too, and it's seen really good success, but it's definitely aimed at young families.
Right.
Which is great, and it's helping them, but like, we need to do more.
Are all the parents who have their kids in religion
absolutely
or even like a percentile?
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
So I think that that's a big failing of the Catholic Church, is we're not providing anything for people in the parenthood bracket.
Yeah.
Did you just stare directly at camera? Yeah. We're not doing anything for people who are in that age bracket. And we're not providing anything for them. The second failing is that we're not providing kids with an atmosphere that they want to attend themselves. Mm-hmm. So even if their parents were active, if their parents are forcing them to go, they don't want to be there just because their parents are forcing them to go, right. By and large.
Exactly.
So we're failing at providing a space where kids want to learn about God. And I think three is we're failing to adequately catechize our kids. Our kids do not know enough about the faith. And I've seen those failings time and time again in one way or another. Just talking to the kids in the youth group, we're like, they don't know very basic things about the faith, mm-hmm. or they think very wrong things about the faith because they've been educated through watching a video on the internet or going on a forum or just right. asking some friends who are probably not Catholic, but they're like, you're a Christian. You know the answer to this question.
Right.
And so they're being catechized by social interaction rather than by an actual catechese teacher.
Okay. So I have several comments.
Yes.
One, I learned a lot growing up in our youth group. But I didn't learn a lot about the Catholic faith. I learned a ton about Jesus, which yes. is fine.
Oh, yeah.
Totally fine. Because as our youth minister said, if you don't know Jesus, there's no point in being... nothing matters. And so that's where I really... And I think that's what we need to really focus on in both religious ed and youth ministry, mm-hmm. is knowing who Jesus is. Now, that's not to say you can't learn about the church, because Jesus created the church. Mm-hmm. Jesus wants us to know about his church. And I think the church is super cool. I myself am super passionate about a lot of things in the church, and I've had kids just say, like, it's really nice that I'm passionate about these things, because that at least gives them something to learn about and look mm-hmm. forward to when I'm teaching. I think the bigger problem with the catechesis issue isn't not that we're not teaching the kids well, it's that we're not catechizing the catechists well. They're yes. not being trained well. They're not being taught well on how to teach others. And that's not their fault. Mm-hmm.
In my short time as a catechism teacher, there was no review process or anything. No. They basically gave you a book.
Yes.
They said, here's the chapters you're doing each week. Good luck.
Yeah.
Right? I was in high school. I wasn't, I was excited for it, but, like, and I tried to be a good catechism teacher for my short stint as a catechism teacher. But, I certainly wasn't, you know, providing the best that was, like, out there.
And that's not your fault. You just didn't know.
But, like, if there was, like, you know, a couple weeks of, like, here's what we're covering and why we're covering it and, like, a mission to it beyond, like, kids need to learn about God.
Right.
And here's a book about why insert thing is good or bad.
Well, and I would even argue that some of the biggest questions that kids will have about the Catholic Church, for instance, why is Mass important? Why is it important that we go to Mass on Sundays? I don't know a lot of catechists, due to no fault of their own, mm-hmm. that can answer that question well. That can right. answer the question well. Well, they can say because God wants us to, right. or because Jesus said so, but where did he say so? Why did he say so? Mm-hmm. What is the point of this? What does this point us back to in the Old Testament? What does that have to do with who we are as God's people? Right. It has everything to do with it, but if you don't know that... That's not your fault, but that's how we're failing our children, too. Mm-hmm. I do agree with you when you say that, you know, if parents aren't going to Mass, if they're not going to church, what is the point of sending your kid to religious education? Because 90% of the faith-formed children being formed faithfully is by your parents. Mm-hmm. You can have the best youth minister in the world, you can have the best catechist in the world, you can have the best pastor in the world. If your parents are not devout, then you probably won't be either.
And this is something that we can even see outside of church.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
70% of all outcomes for kids in schools comes from home life, mm-hmm. not school life. You could have the best teachers, best principals, best technology, and you're only 30% of the way there. If your kid's going home and he's hungry and his dad's beating him, mm-hmm. he's not going to have good educational outcomes, period.
Yep.
It all lies on the parents.
Yeah.
Without the parents being behind you in any level of education, in any form of education, your educational outcomes are going to be diminished.
Right. So my next question is, why aren't we doing more for the parents? Why aren't we providing them the tools they need to not only experience who Jesus is and to experience his church, but give them opportunities to teach their kids? Mm-hmm. You know, we know a lot of really great devout Catholic parents who love Jesus, love his church, and it shows in their children. Mm-hmm. Like, their children like Mass. Not always, but they don't hate it. Right. Their children don't mind going to religious education, or they go to Catholic school, and they actually enjoy learning about the Bible, and they enjoy learning about Jesus. Mm-hmm. Or they actually pray every day, not because their parents make them, but because this is what they do as a family, and that's just, you know, my family ate dinner together every Sunday.
Right.
That's just what we did.
Mm-hmm.
Other people didn't do that, so that was weird to me when I go to my friend's house, and they're not mm-hmm. eating dinner together as a family on Sunday. That's odd.
Mm-hmm.
Because I grew up eating dinner every Sunday with my parents and my sister. So when we continued that growing up for as long as we could until we started working, it was weird when we stopped.
Right.
So if we had prayed, no, we didn't. We were not a family that prayed together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have, there's that cliche, a family that prays together stays together. But at the same time, you're stuck with your family.
Right.
I love my family. But you're stuck with them regardless. Yeah. I just think there's more that we can be doing to serve not only our children, but their parents.
Absolutely. And this might sound, I don't even know. There's a word I'm thinking of, but I can't think of it. It's because I think everyone has a selfish motive mm-hmm. to some extent, just by nature of us being humans. The Catholic Church isn't catechizing or isn't pushing to have people in that age bracket do more stuff in the parish because they're not donating as much as yeah. older people. And the same goes the other way. They're not worried about dying, and old people are.
Mm-hmm.
So when old people go to Mass, they're kind of cleaning up for, you know, whatever number of sinful years that they had.
Right.
Or at least that's how they're interpreting it, right? Like, I lived a bad life, so I'm going to clean up at the end, and at least maybe God will forgive me or whatever. Like, whatever's going on in that head.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds conceited or selfish, but, like, it's totally understandable.
Sure.
That, like, people get more passionate about the afterlife as they get closer to ending this life.
Right.
So I think that you got two things working for each other there, where old people want to go to church more and they also have more expendable income on right. average. So the church is going to cater more towards them. Whereas parents not going to church as much because they're not as worried about death and they're not as worried about the afterlife, which is a problem in its own right. And they don't have as much disposable income to give the church. Mm-hmm. Because they're raising X number of kids, and that costs a load of money.
Right.
Especially in today's day and age.
Yes.
Especially if you want to send your kids to Catholic school. Oh, my goodness.
It's ridiculous.
It's absurd.
Yeah.
And so you kind of got these things working against each other, where the Catholic Church isn't really incentivized to cater to these people, and these people don't really feel incentivized to go to the Catholic Church.
Right.
And whether we like it or not, you need to provide some level of incentive, some reasoning to go. And you'd think that a life of prosperity in heaven is reason enough, but humans and our monkey brains,
yeah.
we're just kind of dumb about that stuff.
Right. I think, I hate to think that the church is based all on money, but I am also realistic and know that sometimes it is. Sometimes yeah. we have to be.
Yeah, no, I understand that, like, money, you need money. It makes yeah. the world go round. Like, you can't live in our society without it. So I understand why the church might even subconsciously be doing that to right. some extent, right? I don't think it's intentional most of the time. I think there are some churches, some priests that are very obsessed with, like, maybe we'll just do, you know, two offerings today. And,
oh,
you know, like,
right.
there are some priests that are like that. Yes. They talk about offerings way too much, and they talk about the budget way too much.
Yes.
And they homilize about it. I think that's not so great.
No.
But I don't think that's most. I think that, like, it's on a deeper level where they just, like, see old people in church more and they're like, look at all these old people, let's do stuff for them.
Right. Yeah. And I think you're right. I think we just kind of fall into this loop of you cater to the people that are in the pews, and the majority of the people in the pews may be older.
Yeah.
But we have so many people in the pews who aren't, though, too,
mm-hmm.
and we just forget about. I mean, I know it's a problem my parish has. We talk about it all the time. How can we serve the younger community?
Yeah. We have this conversation all the time at a parish council level. Mm-hmm. We have this conversation in our young adult ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And there, I think that a lot of these organizations that used to cater to them just don't anymore. Like, I don't think that the Knights are, like, the man's organization that they once were.
Right.
I think it's more, like, old people who walk in parades, and they do stuff on the weekends sometimes.
Yeah.
I think we need some new organizations that have a modern view on this stuff.
So I think something our Protestant friends do really well is small groups. They have a really good, they do two things really well, mm-hmm. small groups and fellowship. Hey, they're just really good about welcoming people into their community.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a little overwhelming when they get all up in your face, but they're very kind and nice about it. And you know, like, I've never gone to a Protestant community and felt unwelcomed ever. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like I was seen, I was heard, I was asked if I needed anything. You know, the other thing that the small groups factor is kind of the niche, I think, where most ministries moving into. And it's nice because there's a small group for everyone.
Right.
You know, married couples, single couples, men, women, children, young adults, older men, older women, older couples, widows, whatever this factor is, there could be a group for you. And what's nice is it's not necessarily an organization.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily run by just two people, but it's run by people who want to get to know other people, who love Jesus and love his church, and are just journeying along with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really what we need to move to.
Yeah.
And I think the parishes and churches that are doing that have seen lots of fruits from it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just hard to start.
Yeah. And I think that also there's some level where you want to mimic it. I even saw this with our young adult ministry to some extent where, like, I was like, oh, well, you know, this is going good here. Maybe it could be a diocesan level thing. And then maybe it could be like a Michigan thing and then an America thing, you know, like, and I was like, well, maybe this could just be, you know, the next Knights or whatever. Right. And it's like, no, just if it's working for you, that's all it needs to do.
Right.
And I think that if we kind of drop those aspirations of like creating the next Knights of Columbus or creating the next, you know, Jesuit society or whatever, and just focus on small groups. Who gave that lecture on small groups? Did you go to that?
Where at?
At the Dyma event last year.
Oh, Chris.
No.
Lauren Kulis?
Maybe.
Was it a girl or a
guy?
Yes,
it was a girl.
It was Lauren.
Okay. She gave a talk about, like, the successes in small groups. So basically, she had an open door, and people would come in and say, is there a group for this? And she'd say, yes, here's their phone number, or no, congratulations, you just started it. And so, yeah, like, if it was a Bible study, she'd say, okay, here's some resources, or here's $100, go find a resource.
Right.
And she'd just provide just that little bit of kickstart. And the idea was you just need someone who has the slightest want for something, and then eventually it'll be what it needs to be, which is a small group for people.
Yeah.
I think that was a really good talk, and that's something that, like, that's an idea that needs to spread to a diocesan level and a state level and a national level.
We are kind of doing that in the young adult ministry and diocesan.
Yes.
Just so you know.
But.
Like, they have small groups all across the Archdiocese of Detroit.
But. Like, it's working in Detroit for young adults. We need it for everybody.
Everyone.
Everywhere.
Right. And I think that's where parishes really need to get on board with trying something new.
Yeah.
You know, I think, for instance, religious ed. I think most of us can agree that the classroom model of religious ed doesn't work for a lot of kids. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not, I haven't heard of many kids having a great conversion to Jesus Christ or his church because of something they heard in religious ed. I have heard of a lot of kids being able to point to their catechists as great mentors in the faith.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing. But we're still failing them in that regard.
Did you do FIRE?
I did.
So, I think that things like that are far more effective.
That's what I was going to say. I think, so FIRE was called Families in Religious Education. And a couple of our families got together and we did religious ed together. Then we'd play kickball and have pizza. It wasn't effective for my family in the sense of I'm the only practicing Catholic right now.
50%'s not bad.
There was like 8 of us.
Oh.
So, there are some parishes I know of who do family-style religious education.
Mm-hmm.
There are some parishes that do religious ed and family-style religious education. So they have the parents come for a session and the kids come for a session. They split up the kids and parents. They do their youth session and the parent session. And then they come together and have a large group discussion. And then they get in small groups with their parents and other parents and kids and talk about what they heard. And I think that is showing great promise for a lot of reasons. Will it work at every parish? Absolutely not.
Right.
Could it work at some more parishes? Yes.
I think that it could work at every parish, but not for every family.
Okay, but then what would you offer to the other families?
I mean, like, you know, I think having options is the key to success in any field in the modern day, right? Like, look at all the restaurants that are winning right now. It's like all these, we make it right in front of you and you pick what you want on it.
Yeah.
Things like Mod Pizza or Chipotle mm-hmm. or, you know, X number. There's literally one that's called GD's for Indian food. It's so good.
Oh, really?
It's the only one that exists that I know of. And it's so good because you get to pick what you want, right? So I think that choice is extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
And the more choices, the better. So maybe some family is more drawn to a classroom religious education. That's fine. We'll provide that. Maybe other families are drawn to, like, homeschooling, where it's just one-on-one with your kid. And that's fine. We'll provide that. And maybe some are drawn to these group settings like FIRE. And that's fine. We'll provide that, too. And we'll just do it all. Whatever you need, we'll do it.
But do you know how hard that is?
I think it's hard, maybe on an administrative level. But I think that if you just have one person that's keeping track of progress for these kids and making sure that, you know, everyone's relatively on the same page, that's all you need. And
it's, you know, still hard.
Some, like, level
administrative
of
content wise, it's investment. Really hard.
Yes.
And
younger.
Right.
It's whatever's close by. If there's a parish that's doing a daily close to my work around lunchtime, maybe I'll go to that parish around lunchtime.
Right.
I won't maybe call my home parish or whatever. But, like, the only reason I'm tied to our parish so much is because I know everyone there.
Right.
And you know, I wouldn't be, you know, super, it wouldn't be the end of the world for me to go to another parish for a mass and donate money there.
No.
Or put my name on their roster instead of mine. No. It's just, I'm not as drawn to the idea of, like, having a home parish anymore.
Right.
When they're everywhere. So that's one of those things where, like, on a diocesan level, we need to not focus on individual parish numbers and, like, how is this parish doing compared to this parish? But look at it as a whole, as a body. Don't diagnose a fingernail.
I don't know if they'll ever be able to do that. And I understand.
But why?
Because the way that the administration works at the diocesan level to contribute money and how CSA and all that fun money stuff works, you need to know numbers.
Money is a thing we made up.
You're not wrong.
The Catholic Church is flush with cash. We can invest some more money in this stuff
if
you want to.
The Catholic Church is flush with cash that we can't use.
Yes and no. Money is a thing we made up.
Okay. I think we're getting to the point where we're going to be seeing some changes, and I hope that we're both a part of those changes. I know I've made lots of changes in my 3 years at the parish that I've worked at for youth ministry.
It needs to be.
And I make a change. I make at least one big change every year just because I realize things that, not that I'm doing wrong. They're not wrong. They're not bad, but mm-hmm. they could be done better.
And it's not even big changes. There are small changes that can be made. A lot of the people that work in these parish offices are kind of technologically illiterate, and that hurts in a lot of ways.
Yes.
Just the ability to use software to make your job easier
yeah.
and to invest more hours in the things that matter rather than the paperwork and the nonsense. It's insane to me how we aren't pushing for training all these people on how to use simple stuff like Excel and macros and things like that. Like, on a corporate level, that's required at this point. Like,
right.
if you want to work at a company and you don't know how to use an Excel macro, good luck.
Yeah.
Right? We need to do that in the church because these are things that could just be automated away and we could spend more time ministering instead of more time doing these administrative nonsense tasks.
Right. Well, we can do a whole nother episode on things that the church could do
definitely.
Better. So I don't want to go down that rabbit hole
definitely.
Too much. But I think in terms of our youth and parents, one big change I would like to see in the next couple of years is just providing more opportunities for parents to learn about the faith and then to share that faith with their children.
Yes. As many opportunities as possible.
Yeah.
Whatever that means at a parish level.
Yeah.
If it means two options, great. If it means 20, better.
Awesome.
But whatever that means, just push for that goal.
Yeah.
Right?
And to the parishes that are doing that already, kudos to you. Like,
absolutely.
Awesome work.
Great. I wish we were you.
Basically, yeah. And I do. I know several parishes that I look up to, and I am constantly stalking their website and their events page and stuff to see what they have going mm-hmm. on to get ideas from, because there's no harm in sharing ideas,
you can
you guys.
Tell the parishes that are doing it right based solely on the website.
Oh, yeah.
Because if they have an excellent web presence, it means that they are investing in technology. It means that they are investing in ways to gather people and to organize.
Right.
And that's just the way it needs to be done.
Yes. We're getting a new website and I'm super excited about
it. Yeah. That's exciting.
I mean, I'm basically helping make it.
But is it a one-page scroller? What are you doing?
No, it's through Subsplash, which like made like the Samsung and like Bethel Church and a bunch of other websites. It's super cool. It's going to be really cool. It's going to look more modern and sleek and clean. It's going to look clean, you guys. I love a clean-looking website.
Wait, you don't want buttons everywhere that lead to broken web pages?
No buttons anywhere.
Like a calendar that's just a Google calendar that's impressed into the website, but it's like cut off because there's a solid frame around the outside and there's no scrolling?
No.
There's just... the window opens, and if you try to open it on a mobile phone, your phone catches on fire.
No, we're going to make a better website, so we're working on it. Ours is not awful right now. It's just clunky and messy. Mm-hmm. So
I think that's a lot of web design in the church and in the world in general.
Yeah, it's a real problem. But like, it's 2020, guys. Yeah. Let's get it together.
Let's do it. Do it right.
Call Matt Fleury for...
Don't call Matt Fleury.
You can get a nice little side gig going on.
You know, I'm kind of trying to push for a side gig about web presence, but web dev is not my specialty. It's something that I'm decent at, but I'd much rather like focus on the SEO stuff and getting on Google rather than actually having... like, if you are in Google, you're way better off than if you have a good website that no one can find.
I don't know how to do that.
I can teach you.
You should do that.
Call Matt for that.
You should do that for our podcast.
I'm better at it with physical locations than the podcast because boosting is really easy on Google Maps. Boosting is impossible on Google web search these days. Like, it used to be so easy with just tag clouds and nonsense. Now, like, you gotta pay a bunch of people in India to click on your website and VPN as if they were in Michigan.
That's hysterical.
It's crazy.
Wow, that's
really amount of effort that goes into SEO these days.
Interesting.
Like, all these restaurants that you see, like, if you Google, like, restaurants in my area, and it's, like, always going to be McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's, because they are paying people in third world countries to VPN to appear as if they live near you, and then click on their website so it gets to the top.
Wow.
And they just do this all day. They VPN to an IP near you, and then they pick a new IP, and they do it all again.
That sounds awful.
They get paid, like, a penny a click.
That sounds awful.
It's terrible. It's capitalism. Let's talk about that on an episode.
Do it. All right.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter.
Support us on Patreon.
Support us on Patreon. Buy our t-shirt at Campfire.
And if you guys could actually like leave a review on Apple Podcasts.
Yes, leave reviews.
Apple Podcasts is the only thing that matters because Apple has taken over the podcast.
Speaking
world.
Of SEO, every single podcasting website uses Apple reviews to categorize and rank their podcasts. So if you go to Apple Podcasts and rate us, we'll come up at a higher rank in Christian and Catholic-related podcasts, podcasts with the word salt in the name, podcasts with the word earth in the name.
Podcasts with the word the in the name.
Yeah. So actually, usually the is excluded from a lot of those searches because it's like a very
You can't just let me win
word.
Anything, can
no,
you?
No, I can't. It's not.
So if you guys could take a minute, rate us on Apple Podcasts. Even if you don't have an Apple phone, find someone who has an Apple phone and rate us on Apple Podcasts.
You could also do it online if you don't have an Apple phone. You can go to Apple Podcasts website and do it.
That makes so much sense. You should do it that way.
You could do it on Google Podcasts, too. They cross-reference a lot of time. Apple and Google are like frenemies in this regard. So, yeah.
And if you want to support us on Patreon, check out our Patreon link that you can find in our bio or in the comments below.
Yep.
Any money given to us is going to go towards operating costs, like getting a second microphone and getting more acoustic panels because apparently it's echoey. I do the very best I can with editing, you guys. I try.
We appreciate it.
I try.
All right. That'll be it. Man.
We don't know how to end this.
We should have just stopped.
We should have. We're going to figure... Okay, saltier saying
goodbye. What we need to do is like
goodbye.
A cold close. Like we do a cold open. We need a cold close too. Where it just stops. Like there's no like actual goodbye or whatever. It just ends. And okay. That's it.